Welcome to the Randin Podcast with Rafi and Chandra.
Shall we begin?
Let us begin.
Well, welcome to yet another episode of Randin with Rafi and Chandra. Hooray!
It hasn't died yet.
Okay, we're up to, well, second proper episode, but...
We're counting as episode 4. Sounds better.
Yeah, okay, episode 4 it is. Well, yep. It sounds more like Star Wars these days.
Sure.
Hopefully better than the actual... I'm not a big fan of this. New movies.
The last one was all okay. Amazing, right?
Okay, so we're going to have structure this time. And for once, you've actually looked at said structure.
I did.
You even picked out bits for said structure. So we're going to begin the episode with what's up. So what's been happening since the last episode?
Well, most important thing is flying drones.
That was today.
That was literally this afternoon. It was quite fun.
Okay, so what's new about this drone?
So I used to build and fly my own drones, and the best part about those sort of drones is you wear these goggles, so a little bit like the virtual reality goggles that you have now. And when you wear them and you fly the drone, it really feels like you're up in the air. You can sort of imagine yourself as though you're flying yourself, and it really gives you that immersive feeling where you're going in between the trees and weaving around. And when you go up in the air, you can look down and see everything around you. It's different to seeing it on a screen. When you wear these goggles, what it does is it blocks out the rest of the world, and you've just got these two little screens in front of you. So that becomes your world at that point in time.
Well, what's so special about, so you've done this before, so why is today's one?
So the annoying thing about those drones is that was still, you know, back in about 5 years ago or so, that was still very much a things people make in the garage kind of category. And DJI...
Yeah, but hasn't DJI always made drones?
They have, but they've never made an FPV drone where you could actually wear these goggles and feel like you're flying. And they have made the goggles before, actually, but they've never made a drone that you can fully manually control. So the difference is with the normal DJI drones, if you leave the sticks alone, it stays in one spot. Push forwards, goes forwards.
This makes no sense to anyone. I think what he's trying to say is, look,
they're more. You can fly them around a bit more randomly.
All right, I think the easiest thing is going to be, let's just put in two links. It's like standard drone video and acrobatic drone video.
Yes.
It's like, just imagine, it's like Superman level flying around buildings versus like slowly, gently gliding along like a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
That's kind of the difference. One's like, literally looks like...
Like driving in traffic versus driving a racing car.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's, so, feels very different.
It's very, very, very different. I don't know how to fly these things, but I was just trialing it out on his stuff, and it's so much fun. And they've got a beginner mode, which someone like me who's never done it before didn't crash the drone, which using his old ones, I was doing every 30 seconds. At one point, the FPV drone was chasing me while I had the goggles. So I was literally chasing myself with the drone, watching myself run away from it.
It's like, don't die, don't die.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple of questions for you after the last episode. So, we were in the middle of the wood cabins last time. So, favorite part of the wood cabin experience, now that you've had a month to process it?
Well, probably actually getting up in the morning around 5 or 6 or whenever I did get up. And
not 5 or 6.
It was 6. Anyway, early in the morning, because you got that feeling of... being in the woods, really quiet, no one else around, and it's got that misty woods kind of look to it, especially because it rained, I think, both of the nights we were there or something like that. So you kind of got up and it felt, you had that sort of foggy, misty, in the woods kind of feeling where you get up, it's really peaceful, can't hear a thing.
No, this was the second night.
Yeah, well,
because
definitely.
The first night... there were too many spiders outside.
Yeah, this is true.
Night,
also, in the morning, the spiders are asleep, so it's okay. They're not out to get you.
Oh, God.
So that would be the slightly downside to it. The wildlife doesn't always respect the boundaries of inside and outside. But apart from that, I would say the best thing is getting up in the morning with really quiet and a misty forest. That was worth it.
All right, all right. Not your spider friend that was living right next to your bed.
Hey, he was my friend. He said hello.
Okay. Worst part then.
Keeping the wildlife on the outside, not the inside, would be number one. And number two is probably actually a lack of air conditioning, because it was pretty hot.
Downstairs wasn't.
Yeah, so hot air rises, and I had the bed upstairs. So it's slightly warm and muggy, which I'm not a fan of warm, muggy weather. What can you do?
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to go back in winter when it's cold.
Well, actually, I saw a video on Instagram of someone that literally went like 2 weeks later, and I think when we had that little bit of coldness throughout Victoria, and they had the little wood stove on to warm it up in the evening, and they had the bonfire going outside, and that actually looked pretty cool. I was like, yeah, actually,
that would be
kinda
cool.
Because I'm sure it's a tiny, it's 20 centimeters or 30 centimeter big oven-looking thing. Like, you go, it's probably not going to do anything, but then the whole cabin is tiny.
Tiny space.
Yeah. We've actually finally gotten around to setting up the YouTube channel, which I was in the process of doing just before we started filming. So if you're watching the video on YouTube, you'll also see a meowcat running around next to us whilst we're trying to record.
Guest, does that count as a first guest on the podcast?
Yes, Luna is the first guest.
Yes.
I think for me, the other worst part was if you use the potty, then you'd have to undo the bucket and chuck out the pee, which was I obviously didn't read it properly, so thankfully I didn't use the potty.
Composting toilets, yay!
Well,
they're
yeah,
environmentally friendly and stuff.
Oh, we spent half a day sitting in the library.
Yeah, so there's always ways around these things. We went camping, except to the library to go to the body.
Ah, look, it was relaxing nonetheless. Alrighty, what was I going to ask you about? Oh yeah, last time you mentioned you were going to talk about app stuff and AI stuff. And we left it at that, so what does that mean?
This is true. Been experimenting more with the AI aspect of things. That's one of the projects I've been spending more time on now. And it's kind of fun because when you make an AI model, there's a whole bunch of pieces that go around it. So what an AI model is, for example, you show a picture of a cat and the model will tell you that it's a cat or a dog at the simplest level. A whole bunch of computer equations to turn a picture into some numbers and decide, hey, is this bunch of numbers a cat or a dog? And that's
what
AI is all about.
Okay, but then there's algorithms. What's the difference?
So in a traditional computer, what you do is you do programming where you tell the computer, hey, if it has pointy ears and whiskers, then that is a cat. So you tell the computer explicitly, hey, if you find this, this, and this, then do that. And that gets the job done for a large number of things. But then things get tricky where you can't really define exactly what something is without a whole bunch of rules. So instead, what you do is you tell the computer, hey, here's a whole bunch of cats. Here's a whole bunch of dogs. You work out what the difference is. And you work out the programming yourself to be able
basically,
to
instead of going, four sides equals a square, it's here's a bunch of examples of shapes, and this bunch is called square, that bunch is called circle, and then it learns by example versus learns by explicit rules. Is that kind of...
Yeah, exactly. So, and that works really well because certain things are very hard to define. For example, driving, yes, there are road rules, but there's a whole bunch of other little things which are very hard to program. So instead, what companies like Tesla will do is look at how do people drive, and then a combination of the rules plus what the computer learns works really well.
I think an easier example is plants, right? You go, has leaves, it's probably a plant, but then how do you go through all the different varieties? So if you had it's Google Lens or whatever it is on your phone, you point it. Obviously has enough pictures of that plant that someone's labeled as the correct thing. So then it goes, oh, this one looks like that one. So I had to use it today, actually, because one of the my little greenhouse project that I've got going on, I forgot what I planted in each of the pots. So then I plucked out a leaf and I'm like, I don't know what this is. So I pointed at the camera, it's like, oh, it's beetroot. I'm like, what? I had beetroots in there? The reason that's funny is because it's literally a 5 centimeter square pot. Like, I don't think one beetroot would fit in there.
Anyway. Look forward to eating the magical beetroot that comes out of that.
Cool. So what's changed in your AI stuff?
So essentially the first step is to make something that will, you know, tell you if it's a cat or a dog. But the next thing is to be able to build something out of it where a whole bunch of people at the same time can ask, is this a cat or a dog? So it's different to having something on your own computer, which you can show it a picture and give you an answer, but then turning that into a real world useful thing becomes much harder because you've got a whole bunch of people that might have pictures of cats and dogs that all want the answer at the same time. So it's about turning something that you've sort of been tinkering with into something that works in production.
Okay, and what does that, like, you just, I know nothing about this, so I'm assuming it's like, you take your little model that you built and you kind of deploy it to
so you're trying to
the
work
internet.
Out.
It's like,
how do you take your little equation and then put it in the cloud? Because cloud solves everything. But
it's
basically,
kind of like you've taken your photo and your iPhone, you've tinkered and applied the filters, and now you're putting it on Instagram for everyone to see. That's my version of things.
Sure. Yeah, that kind of works. It'd be like you made a scrapbook to show your share pictures with other people. That works. Now, how do you make it Instagram where it
can, that level of
share with a whole bunch of people at the same time?
Okay, fair enough. So I'm assuming different sort of...
It's a different skill set, which is kind of fun because you learn one thing about how to make the AI model. Then you learn another thing about how do you share the AI model. And it's a whole bunch of different new skills, which is fun.
Okay, fair enough. And what about your app?
The photo competition app is still going strong.
I think you half mentioned it last time, and that was all.
We will have links to subscribe.
What is your app? You never actually said anything about it.
How I learned all my photography was through this website called DP Challenge, digitalphotographychallenge.com. That was like ages ago when I first started taking photos. And the best part about it was they had, you know, weekly competitions, so you always had to think, oh, cool, okay, this challenge is about blue. So you go out and think about what something blue you could take a photo of. So one, it forces you to think about a new topic, and, you know, maybe think outside, you know, just, I'll just take a photo of sunset. And then you post up the photo and you get a whole bunch of comments from other photographers. And as a beginning person, I found that really, really helpful because you get to see, oh, other people will say, oh, actually, you know, you should try to straighten things out or try this, try that, etc. And also you can see the winning photos and the comments they receive. And I found that to be really helpful. And one thing I've always wanted is for something like that to exist in app format. And so that was the first app that I made just as a fun project.
What's it called?
It's called C41. If anybody used to shoot film, they will recognize it as one of the old school film formats. But also because naming things is hard. And I was just like, well, C41, because why not? And the domain's available.
Yes.
So C41app.com.
Wow, that wasn't a shameless plug. Links and blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
click
like
down
and
below
subscribe
if you're on YouTube.
And follow and
yeah.
stuff.
Wait, there's no Facebook or Instagram for that yet.
No, Randon has an Instagram.
I mean C41.
Oh, well, that's your problem.
Yeah, no, it seems like a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, so Randon has now actually got a Instagram, that Randon, I think it was. I haven't set up the YouTube channel properly, but I will try for either... slash Randit or Randit podcast.
Because podcasts need an Instagram. Makes
yeah,
sense.
How else are you going to share the little clips?
This is true.
And reels and TikToks or something.
Insta-talks.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I tried making one the other day. I was like, that was my first. Like,
yeah, said you've actually started doing the reels and little short story thing.
Well,
no.
I tried that, but the first, like... I tried it before. Remember, I was making a sandwich and I was like, I don't know what this does. So literally like everything else is photography related. And there's like this one reel or TikTok or whatever they're called now about me making a sandwich because I was like, I don't know what else to do for 10 seconds and I'm hungry. So in between all that, there is how to make a Reuben. It was at the time the most popular reel because I had 3.
Well, it turns out, actually, if you get one of you eating the Reuben, that's also a popular category. Yum, yum, yum.
Well,
people will know we're not eating today.
Yes, we've only got orange juice. So, yeah, I had to convince Chandra not to have food this time. So the weird thing is, I think Instagram's trying to be all anti-TikTok or competitive. So it keeps on boosting reels to the front. Like, I don't even follow any reels. I don't quite get it. Like, I'm too old for this stuff. But I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try and see it. Because, like, you know, it's a new format.
Yeah.
It's kind of... It seems like the moment Twitter got invented, there's, like, Twitter version of everything. It's like, you know, you used to have a photo blog or,
you know,
the photo competition things. And now it's like... was the quick bite-sized version of a photo, and that was Instagram. And then everyone was like, oh, MySpace, you could type out your life story, and people were doing blog posts, essentially. Then Facebook came along, and it's like, here, write like a short story version. And then Twitter came along, and it's like, nah, like, basically finish a sentence.
Yeah.
And so YouTube is kind of like the, oh, yeah, you know, 10 minutes, it's the short story version. And now, like, TikTok's obviously like the, what? There was a flash of light, something happened, we're done. Okay, moving on to the next flash of light version of it. So it's like, yeah. And I think Instagram's trying to obviously copy it. But it's a different way of telling a tale. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, it'd be fun to just experiment. Like, I told myself I'd do three just because I don't quite get it, but it might actually be quite challenging and fun. So I was like, all right, how do I take something photography-ish and make it a TikTok instead of going with, like, I think there's, like, you know, everything can be an album art and people just take random photos and turn it into an album art. And I'm like, but that was always the case. I don't quite understand why.
But it's new. It's TikTok.
Yeah, it's like there's album covers that are literally just a color. There's album covers that's also just a blurry photo. So hence the spectrum already existed. I don't know what they're proving. But clearly that challenge isn't for me. So I was like, look, I walked around Melbourne doing a... like, we went for a run, and there's all these cool geometric, symmetrical bridges and, like, patterns and stuff. I was like, And it's, like, the sort of end of Melbourne near the exhibition centre. The exhibition centre, the conference centre and that end of Docklands.
There's some cool lights and stuff down there.
Yeah. So I was like, here's some geometric things. And got, like, 1,000 views or something. I'm like, okay, they're really pushing this hard because I don't even know how you make a good reel. So I've got a couple of other ones that I've taken because it's interesting because... if you do it in Instagram, it doesn't let you attach photos. Like, you can only do little videos. And I'm like, but it's a photo app. You know? Like, this is weird. So hence, I clearly don't get it. So I was like, all right, I'll just make it in Rush and export it through and, like, kind of do the hacky way around it. But I still want it to be mainly about photography. So it's been like, how do I take cool photos and turn it into a video story? It's kind of like what would be a cinemagraph, but it's... you know, instead of like a little 2-second looping video, you're actually making a 10 to 15 second mini story. So mine was like interesting places around Melbourne. And then I show the area around and then the photo that I took there, area around photo I took there. And some people have been doing like one that I kind of get is like, it just has like the title, what I mean when I say I live in Melbourne or Vienna or whatever. So it has that and like a little video and then just a few quick snaps.
The classic bits of it.
Yeah. So it's just like a taste of whatever. Like, I like that one because it kind of is like an animated postcard, if you like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm keen to try out the little short form video as well because I found with the drones anyway, previously what I really wanted is basically just a flying camera that I can put it up in the air and take a picture of whatever it is. I'm not really into the whole doing a 3-minute video and doing all that. That's a lot of work. But I wouldn't mind basically just making moving photos, like think Harry Potter essentially, but just like a little 5-10 second video, which is essentially a photo of something, but it's just 5 or 10 seconds in video format.
Yeah.
Of a photo.
Well, it's like, so I was talking about this, I'll try and link it again. There's a 8K... video of Japan at night shot from a helicopter on like one of those epic red cameras, and all it is like is just gentle piano music playing and these little clips of Tokyo from the air at night with the twinkling lights, and there's just something really relaxing about that. And it's just made up of, I think the longest stretch is about 20 seconds or something, but essentially each TikTok thing would be like a small snippet of that because it just goes to the beat and just changes. And it's like something relaxing about just scrolling through and just going, like, I wouldn't actually mind if someone had like a Reels channel or account or whatever, where it was just a series of those, like, I would actually follow that just to watch, because
that'd be cool to have, like, you know, on a big digital photo frame,
like the TV behind
yes,
us here,
like
with
the frame.
yeah,
I haven't seen you play your, because you did have some digital art for that.
Well, yeah, so I subscribed to this service called Sedition Art, which basically has video art that you can display. The weird thing about the frame is that it actually has some of the still artworks, but doesn't let you do the video artworks. And to do the video, you basically have to launch it in either your phone and then Chromecast it across. And it's just kind of like, I just kind of forget, you know? It's just one level of friction too much from just, like, I mean, I genuinely, like, even yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to turn it on. But because just that tiny bit of friction too far, I just don't end up doing it. But, yeah, it actually has some pretty cool artworks in there, like just nice animations. And I wonder if it's going to take off more now that NFTs or whatever the... or whatever the next episode. I don't know enough about this stuff. But it seems like people are now into the whole...
Yeah, different art forms.
Yeah, like... Yeah, anyway, NFTs, I'll get my... Actually, this will be... So, for the other bits of the podcast, we were going to do random little topics, and one was going to have a section called Eli 5. So, explain like I'm 5, but we also thought explain in 5 minutes, because we should put a time limit on being too
definitely.
Random. So, one of the actual topics we thought we'd try to describe well would be... like blockchain or crypto, but the NFT thing kind of fits in together quite nicely with all that. So I thought we'd leave it to the next episode because it does require a bit of thinking to simplify it enough.
But if you have any other requests, send them through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then on the actual Anchor page, anchor.fm/randint, there's like a record message button. I wrote myself a message, but it'd be nice to get it from you guys. What else was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. So... I hear you're traveling out of Victoria.
Yeah, well, don't jinx it, but...
what happened last time?
So, trying to go to Perth to do some work there. Problem is, Perth closes their doors really quickly at the signs of any trouble. Probably, to be honest, a good idea. So last time, I suspected they might close the doors to Victoria, so I thought, oh, I better fly quickly. So I booked a flight, and the first flight available on that day, like literally I was looking in the morning, I was like, yep, I'll just take the first one, was going from Melbourne to Adelaide, then Adelaide to Perth. So made it to Adelaide, and as I'm landing, that 20 minutes just before I landed, they made the announcement, if you come from Victoria, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks retrospectively if you've been in Victoria at any point in time in the last week. So... I essentially made it to Adelaide, and this was on the 31st evening. So thankfully, I made it back to Melbourne.
Oh, yeah, that was New Year's, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was like, sorry, family, can't be around for New Year's. Got to be in Adelaide. Going to go to Perth. Then I was really worried that basically because it's New Year's, there wouldn't be a way to get back to Melbourne. I was like, that would be the most 2020 way to end the year at Adelaide Airport. So
you made it back.
Thankfully, that didn't happen. Made it back in time.
So what's your current strategy? Because
this time,
is 2021 overkill mode in April.
I was like, all right, well, that's not going to happen again. So I've only going there for 2 weeks of work.
When is that period? Let's just
so that's at the in middle of April. So
okay.
What I'm going to do is fly next week, which is the middle of March, 4 weeks early. I figured that way I've got 2 weeks to quarantine because... I'm sure I'll end up needing to quarantine. There's apparently a small chance I won't, but I'm assuming I'll be quarantining for 2 weeks. And also, I'm also assuming that what if something bad happens literally just before I leave and WA says you're not allowed to fly into WA anymore?
Okay.
Last time that happened, and that was another 1 week delay. So I was like, okay, worst case scenario, that's 4 weeks extra. I think I'll get to start work there. So we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned.
Oh, actually, I suppose that should be one of the other things I should... Since the last time, you have achieved something big.
Yeah, I got more letters to my name. I've got lots of letters in my name already, but I got some more.
So I think, what does that mean?
I've officially finished my training as an ophthalmologist, so...
Hooray!
Yay! It means that I have no more exam slash requirements stuff, except for self-imposed.
So official eye surgeon, hooray!
Yay!
And this will be your first time using your new credentials, yeah? Like,
yeah, yeah. So
that's
that'll
pretty
be,
cool.
That'll be fun.
Alrighty. I've got nothing else to ask you. Was I going to talk about... you're a terrible host. Why don't you load up Notion?
Yeah, I should do this too. Hang on, let me check.
All right, well...
Oh, no, I can't check because otherwise the background disappears.
Oh, well, just read off here then.
Uh-huh. Why, thank you.
Actually, I was going to ask you one random question, which is, what's the most interesting person you've chatted to recently?
That's a good question.
Yeah. You know, since the last thing, like before.
Most interesting person.
Or most interesting conversation you've had, and why?
All right. That's a tough one.
That's why it's random, man.
This is true. It is truly random while I think more.
All right. I'll answer for me then, since
you're
taking
first.
Too long. It was probably, it was the most recent. It was actually one of the nurses at work who has the diametrically opposite political viewpoint. So, like, I'm not much of a fan of Donald Trump, loves Trump. She considers herself conservative. But what was really interesting is that when you chat to one another, the interesting part was we picked up on the talking points of the media that we consume. So, like, for example, we came up against climate change and global warming and stuff like that. And she was basically like, you know, she'd be like, and I was trying to explain that, look, everyone's like slightly biased by the stuff you read. And I was pointing out the very fact that the word climate change versus global warming was a workshopped marketing tactic employed by, I think it was someone who did the whole, misinformation about smoking and linked to cancer. But it was like the same, or it was either the same marketing group or the same style of strategy, something like that. I read it a while ago now, because global warming kind of implies like the water's boiling and it's alarming. Whereas climate change is kind of like, well, the climate's always changing this summer. And so literally her words were, the climate's always changing. Like, you know, it's always changed up now. I'm like, yeah. And I had to point out that that was workshopped. Like the fact that if you change the label, you get that argument. And it's a natural extension of the language you use, right? And I was pointing this out. And then she was like, well, you're talking about these other talk points. And I was like, yeah, it's true. It's just the media bubble thing is a huge thing. But it's becoming... Like, that's a very interesting example of how you don't even realize what you're parroting.
Yeah. No, it's quite true. And I guess I was sort of interested in this, you know, what's the other viewpoint that I'm missing aspect of things. And now on Reddit, like, I've started actively following some of the, like, conservative channels and stuff on there.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
If you really want to... This is how easy it is as well. So I made a point of this a little while ago, but... It's hilarious what it actually does. So, I mean, there's like that Netflix show about social media. I can't remember what it's called. About how it works.
Hand tracking is good for you.
Yeah, like I don't actually remember what it's called. But there's anyway, it became a bit of a buzz because it was like showing you how it works. And essentially, when you do searches, instead of like, you know, lagging you, it kind of lumps you into a profile of you probably like this stuff. It creates a virtual version of you that's based
on
interest.
You like Trump? Let me sell you some guns.
Yeah, right? So... I went on YouTube and then I started like, you know, normal stuff that I used to watch is like late night comedy, like Stephen Colbert and like John Oliver, but it's kind of very left leaning. Then I kind of went out of my way and started searching on Google or everything else, like how to support Donald Trump and or like, you know, how to instate gun laws in Australia or repeal gun laws, like random keywords, right? And then the YouTube algorithm totally changed. And so then it started like serving me up these random, and the ads totally changed. And like, then it was like, hey, come to like Camp Right Wing. Like, I was like, okay, this is hilarious because like everything, like it was just a couple of searches. You just don't realize how keyworded everything is. Like everything that you do, it also kind of shows you how predictable you are that you just stay in your little narrow band, right?
Well, they know that if they show you that stuff, you're probably going to stay and watch a bit more.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody else they've done that to.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like chicken and the egg, right? Like, if they hadn't done it, would you still have been there? Right? But it was interesting because I started watching, like, a bit of Hannity and Tucker Carlson, which I find ridiculously infuriating, mainly because, A, like, different political point of view. But the other thing is it's
But Dr. Seuss has been cancelled.
Yeah, I've never read Dr. Seuss. I don't know anything about it. Dead world baby here. But it was... it's like they take generally true facts and add in just these strategic amounts of, like, opinion with the facts. That's where the argument. And
but that's essentially the aim of both sides is, at the end of the day, facts don't really convince people. It's stories that convince people.
Yeah.
Part of the reason, you know, podcast, let's learn to storytell.
Yeah, actually, we were going to do this other anti-pool section, which is coming up in a bit.
Mm.
But moving on, since you're terrible again at following the script.
Yes.
So.
I can now see the script. If only your laptop had better viewing angles. If only it was Mac.
No.
But
we wouldn't be able to plug in the mic without a dongle life.
Dongles are great. But tell me more about your 1.5 kilos of steak.
Oh, right. Well, okay.
What happened there? This seems like something that someone getting old shouldn't eat.
So it was a friend's birthday, and so one of the bad things about lockdowns ending is that people are now catching up, and I'm a hermit, so there seems to be a lot more dinners. But it was actually quite nice because this was like as many people as I can usually handle over an extended period of time well. So it was about 8 people.
Okay, it's a decent group.
8 people for like 4 hours, you know. So being an introvert, and that usually tires me out, but that was like the right level of people, the right level of company where, because there was a few people that I'd never really talked to before, like our friends' wives and stuff. Like, you kind of say hello, but you never really have an in-depth chat.
Yeah.
But that was, like, the right amount to, like, catch up with close friends that you see all the time, that you went to med school with, all that stuff. But then, new person, but there's not that many new people that you have to just go, hi, hello, haha, how's the weather, and then move on. But I kind of really get tired by that sort of small talk.
Mm.
And it was just interesting, because, like, one was, like, a fashion designer. And I know nothing about fashion. I went and bought the same t-shirt like 4 times. Like,
that reminds me, I gotta order more of my same t-shirts.
So here was the thing. She was saying that's called cockroach fashion. It's like males have this certain style and they keep buying the same style and it just never dies. So they call it the cockroach version because she designed shoes for a shoe brand. And it's like, yeah, I want to try these stuff, but the guys don't buy it. So it's like, you gotta get the same style and change it slightly to make it interesting, but not too much because otherwise they won't buy it.
Well, it's because I just want to press repeat order.
Yeah. And she was just like, damn it. Like, you know? So it was like really interesting. And she was saying that as a female, she finds designing stuff for females more hard because it's like, is she bringing her own biases into it? So it's like, are you designing for yourself or are you designing for someone else? I was like, okay, that's very different to our field.
But it's kind of like the, in general, creative stuff. You can either make stuff for yourself or for others, but some people do it really well where they just make stuff for them full stop. And there happens to be a bunch of other people that happen to appreciate that too.
Well, I think, like, say Elon Musk and stuff, right? Like, they found the crossover point where there is actually, they do make stuff for themselves, but it's with enough market. Like, it's not like he made Tesla without ever considering that other people should buy it.
Yeah.
Like, the stated aim was to convince everyone to go to electric cars, and he's kind of doing that. So, and she, this fashion designer friend, was kind of like, yeah, I like doing the numbers side of things too, because I think she's got a background in accounting, or that didn't get that far. But yeah, so it was interesting to see a totally different field. And along the way, because it was my friend's birthday and he has a thing for tomahawk steaks, we ordered 1.5 tomahawk steaks. Last time we finished it just between the two of us.
What? As a vegetarian, what is a tomahawk steak?
As a lambarian. So think of your lamb, your vegetable lamb, that's a lamb cutlet, then like literally Photoshop stretch it to 1.5 kilos in size.
That's like a big lamb cutlet.
Yeah, it's massive. Like they literally had to bring out its own table, cut it up for us and serve it. And it's like, yeah, it was between, this time between 3 people was like 500 grams more. So, and then we had ribs on top of that. It was a lot of meat. I think this is literally the biggest steak I've seen probably on a plate.
It's like a small cow.
Yeah, well, it's like the bone of the thing was at least 50 centimeters long.
Huh.
I don't know what that is in feet, like 2 or 3 feet. Like
many.
Yeah.
More meat than one person should eat.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't eat all of it, obviously, the 500 grams plus, like, other stuff, but that was a lot of meat. Yeah. So, that was actually a fun catch-up for dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. Other highlights that have happened since last time is I finally got my Rona shot. So yeah, I'm going to lick every single surface.
You can lick the table. Wait, have you had both shots?
No, I've had one. Oh, I'm assuming...
You can't lick every surface then.
Well, yeah, I got the Pfizer shot, so I can get my second one in 3 weeks instead of like 3 months or whatever the AZ one is. So
that's exciting.
I can shake hands and sneeze on people again.
Excellent. Wait, but other people... Wait, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I actually... Don't do this, people. And I think I also emit 5G now, so my phone signal's
improved. The
reception
has been really good in the apartment lately.
It's the microchips. Yeah. I also don't want to talk about... Oh, yeah, that's right. So,
and your Hugh Jackman experiment. I believe this is something that we need to know about.
Yeah, so a little while ago, we made a Kickstarter project because people wanted calendars, and I thought no one uses calendars, so why not a jigsaw puzzle? Because that was illogical. So anyway, made it through Kickstarter, got funded, and still up on Photos by Raffi if anyone's interested.
Here to purchase a jigsaw.
But then I listened to one of the Tim Ferriss podcasts, and I think Hugh Jackman spent like 10 minutes talking about how much he loves puzzles. Mm. I was like, all right, well, making one, why don't I send it to him? So quite a bit of cyber stalking, essentially. But, you know, it's all just publicly available stuff. So according to...
So you turned up at his house?
Well, yeah, because we can leave the country. But anyway, according to Sendal, which I used to deliver it, it has been delivered.
Mm.
I don't expect, like, I was going to bug him and see, but I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, it was just meant to be a nice gesture of, hey, here's something from Australia, because I think he's living in New York at the moment, so, you know. It's Corona free. And I send him a pack of Tim Tams as well. They're like, something from home, you know? So, I mean, if he writes back or if he sends something, great. If he doesn't, I hope he enjoys it. But anyway, or someone called Hugh Jackman along the way has gotten a puzzle and doesn't know what
that is. Or the concierge there at his building is like, sweet, I've got a puzzle and some delicious chocolates.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll see.
If anybody happens to know him, prod, not, feel free to tweet and retweet and things.
Yeah, I suppose that's a... Yeah, man, I feel old. Yeah, okay, so we should actually get to the segment stuff because...
There's a topic this time.
Oh my God, this is so much less random. We need to, like, up the randomness again. So, the... One of the segments we were going to try is kind of going back to the original argument of... not the original point of... I want to call it anti-pole, which is anti-polarizing.
Well.
So it was basically trying to go, everyone has certain views, points of view, and we have our own ones, and we tend to agree with it, that's why we're friends. But it was, take something that is considered the norm and argue the opposite. So for example, it's like, smoking is good for you, right? Like everyone kind of knows there's risks associated with smoking. But, like, what's the opposite side? It's kind of like, you know, media and everything else kind of explores the fact that something's either really good or really bad. But most things in life are gray, right?
There's always a crossover to both.
Yeah. And so instead of it being like, hey, let's, like, hyper-accentuate media bubbles, let's go the opposite way. Let's, like, actually try and smoosh it in the middle by arguing the opposite point of view. And you had some interesting ones. How are we doing this, by the way? Are we just picking one and just...
Yeah, let's just pick one.
Okay. All right, since you...
First with the first one.
All right.
All right,
eating
so...
bats is no different to eating beef, since you brought up your vegetarian ways.
Yeah, so as a vegetarian...
Sorry. Eating bats is no different to eating lamb.
Yes, exactly.
Since, our vegetarian friend here eats lamb.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And salmon.
Have you seen
lamb? And fish.
I mean, have you seen lamb and fish? Like, if it swims, it's a vegetable, really. And then lamb can swim.
Wow, well done. Episode 4, and we've already put off the vegans from the podcast.
Trust me, I understand you, vegetarian friends.
Yeah, your iron deficiency is really diet-based.
Definitely. I suppose one of the things is that we're all accustomed to
bats.
A certain things, set of
like
that
COVID. Corona, bats.
Well, potentially, or is it the armadillos? No. But it's an interesting one because most people are like, oh, well, that's kind of disgusting. But different cultures, different places eat different animals, and what is considered norm to eat here is just what's been farmed and what's been eaten in that culture for a while.
With
a lot of it, there's no specific rhyme or reason as to why a particular animal is better to eat than another. Like, yeah, if they're both being farmed in clean environments and are disease-free, that's important, and are safe to safe for consumption, and, cooked slash stored as per each meat should be, then there doesn't seem to be a really strong reason as to why that should be looked down upon. Because, for example, if you're in India and you had your tomahawk steak, people are like, what are you doing?
Have buff. So in Nepal, you don't get beef, you get buff, because beef is sacred, but buffalo is not.
Exactly.
So it literally, it's like buff steak and buff dumplings. I thought it was a typo. No, it's not.
Well, usually it is, but still. So because it's normal in one culture versus another, just depends where you live as to what the okay meat is.
Oh, I suppose if you look at it just from a nutrition thing, it's just a source of protein. The macronutrient version of it is, what sort of protein are you having? Chickpeas will give it to you, but slightly different animal protein.
And if you ask a vegetarian, they'll be like, all the meats are bad, and all of them are bad and disgusting to eat. / maybe not disgusting, but whatever. Certain vegetarians would find that very off-putting.
But bats?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm convinced about bats. Wait, I'm trying to argue this. As a vegetarian, I wouldn't eat bats, but... I feel like as long as the
I think that's the thing, though. There's a threshold of safety, because it's kind of like, would you go eat a rat? Even if you farmed it, I think that just natural biome is probably not conducive.
I don't know. There's a Simpson episode on this. Rat milk. Yum.
Milk is okay.
So rat milk is okay, but not farmed rat meat.
Well, I assume when you have any milk product, right?
Mm.
The animal's trying not to kill off its offspring. So
true.
It's probably it's filtered / it's got immune cells, etc. But it's kind of like in the not trying to kill off the offspring, I'm trying to keep it alive.
Yeah, that's
Whereas
true.
A rat literally goes and scavenges stuff. Pretty
but
sure
what
it's
if it was in a farm?
Yeah, but what's a rat?
Like a grass-fed,
I don't think rats
free-range grass-fed rat. this is Wagyu-level rat. It's been massaged. It's had a shower every day. It's been clean. Has free range of...
It's like chickens, right?
Mm.
Like chickens. Factory-farmed chickens.
Yeah.
Why is it the only meat that you worry about salmonella? It's just its natural gut biome has salmonella.
True.
And it's a small animal.
And yet, we still eat it.
Yeah, because,
I don't, as a vegetarian, but,
Yes, not in your pre-vegetarian days.
Yeah, that's true. Still.
I suppose with chickens, we've developed enough little techniques.
We've worked out how to safely prepare said meat.
But it's chicken. It's not a rat.
Again, don't know if I'd be on board with the whole rat eating, but
you were a rat.
If somebody
milk,
was fully into it and there was a way to show that that
tomorrow.
Was...
Tomorrow. Rat milk latte, your way.
Isn't that what we've been eating at Macca's anyway? Filet of fish.
Hey.
So I think...
Donald Trump trusts Macca's, I trust Macca's.
This is the best argument. So, yeah, there's my other side of offense.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Are you convinced, listener?
Yes, let us know on the voicemail. I just really want a voicemail.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Can someone really just... I think... if you are thinking about it, it asks you to create an Anchor account or put in an email. Just put in anything.
Yeah.
Just, it doesn't actually check. You just put in any random name and any random email, and you can record a message.
That helps.
Random interlude.
Are we doing another one? Because I think we are... way over time, and you have a dinner to go to. Where are we
at? We got time for one more, I guess. All right, so tell me why video games are actually bad for you.
Oh, hang on. Am I arguing that they are bad or they're good?
No, you're arguing that they're bad.
Oh, they're terrible.
Why?
What do you mean?
They're good for you. They're good. Actually, no, let's go with the other one.
Yeah.
Let's go with they're good for you. But they are.
Video games are amazingly good for you.
They are.
Yeah. I don't like just turn on the...
Why should not everybody be playing video games?
They should.
Yeah, tell me more.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, had we known the benefits, of video games, I would be a supreme athlete in high school. You know? Esports is the future. Not your regular sports. NBA. Bah. Who cares about bouncing a ball? It's about clicking the mouse. All right? It's kind of like, everyone kind of is like, macroeconomics? What's about that? Microeconomics is where it's at. Micro muscle movements is where it's at. All right? So many actual... Okay. Real life example of why I think it's good.
Mm.
If you look at the generation just before me who are anesthetists, my generation and the ones after, my generation picked up ultrasound like there was no tomorrow. Like, the generation before, there's a whole bunch of them and they're really good, but they found it difficult to visualize certain things.
Yeah.
But you're used to using left hand, right hand for different coordination things.
And looking at a screen.
So, like, finding a needle, like, I've had friends who did, like, 3 echo sessions and they're like, there's the heart, there's the valves, and there's, like, the people teaching going, wow, that took us, like, 3 weeks to do something that you did in less than 3 hours. And so I've done 2 echo lessons, like literally total time, maybe an hour, right? So one was like the first one, I was just mucking around. And the second one, some intensive care specialist was just showing us the ropes, just really basic stuff. Like, is the heart moving on the screen? So I didn't know what I was doing, but I'd like plug it on and she's like, yeah, but you're going to try and find this. Like, have you done this before? I'm like, well, like, apart from mucking around with a probe, never. She's like, you've gotten exactly the view. Like, no one else, like, same patient.
Nice.
I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
So you ascribe that purely to video game playing?
Well, it's not exactly like I've been doing...
How does Dota help?
I think it's to do with... Well, Dota's amazing in many formats, but it teaches you financial skills. How do you manage your gold?
This is true.
There's a resource management element to it. How do you... gank and YOLO, like, I'm sure there's some words here. But I think there is a level of hand-eye coordination that comes from video games that, like, I suppose you have to be a bit more specific. Like, the shoot-em-ups probably help a bit more than, I don't know, playing solitaire, I suppose. But...
No, you gotta click that solitaire button fast.
Yeah, but I think there is a level of it, and it's also just like, you know, you're flying your drone stuff, right?
Mm.
You kind of get used to a certain amount of, like, you know, I don't, apart from that simulator, the DJI simulator, holy moly, that made me sick yesterday. I had to actually have a nap to get over that. But generally speaking, if things are moving, I don't get motion sick. Like, by and large, motion sickness is not one of those things that I get. And I'm pretty sure it's just brains realize virtual world, you know, hand moves this, but it's not, I'm not expecting my my vestibular system to actually spin around and get...
But don't you think, for example, what if kids play more video games? They'll be spending less time outside.
Not getting run over by a car, not drowning, not getting eaten by sharks. What are you trying to do, kill them all? They're the next generation, man. They've got to look after us when we're old. I want them around.
But have you not seen the South Park episode?
No.
There's like massive fat dude who, you know, can't get off the seat.
Hey, we can fix obesity, but can we fix run over by a car? Not well. There's surgery for bariatrics. All right, there's tablets.
Your suggestion is,
hey, Big
a
Pharma
gastric
needs
bypass
to...
while playing video games.
And Big Pharma, like, how's Big Pharma going to make money? You want them to become Slim Pharma?
This is true.
No, look, I think video games actually has, like, apart from the hand-eye stuff, there's mindless video games. Like, I'm pretty sure Flappy Bird does not really actually teach you anything.
Mm.
But, like say Dota, the current thing that half our friends play. Oh, God, we're a bit sad there. It actually has an element of... Well, again, most of life is resource management, right? Like, time's, like a resource. But it's kind of like Dota is this weirdly repetitive game where it's you get slight edges by getting slight extra goals or stuff. And even the timings of when do you think you can take on another player is based on items, which requires you to farm for gold, but also requires you, depending on which mode you're playing, when do you step away from getting gold to go buy the item? So it's like these, like, if you don't explicitly think about it, you're not really learning any of it. So it's kind of like, if you're treating it as purely entertainment, it is that. But there's an element of crossover that's subconscious, I think, with most things in life. like, I'm pretty sure podcasting will help us with our little verbal tics.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that doesn't happen. I would say, because my favorite sort of games were strategy games, and I don't know if it's because that was the sort of person I was, or strategy games came early enough when I was young that I really liked them, but that's kind of how I think about most things as well. Like, I'm a very defensive player in strategy games, but then you know me well. You'd say that most of my strategies are
that
defensive first rather than go for the pure offense, right? But so it kind of is like another way of...
Yeah, it's a bit of practicing some skills.
Yeah, like it is a variation of what you might do anyway, but it's outside the box. You've stretched it out to see pros and cons. So, and actually that's probably the other big thing is, in a lot of situations for resource management and whatnot, obviously games are someone else's model, but you could say, like, the, you know, if you consider the share trading game, the ASX. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. That's a game.
It's a game where you have like a fake stocks, a fake amount of money, and that you invest and see who can get the maximum amount of returns in 6 months or whatever. Like, terrible, because it focuses on short-termism and trading, but, like, overall, though, you can mirror the real world and see what, like, I mean, you get to literally simulate life choices and see outcomes. So you can actually go, yes, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to go all out, put everything on red and see what happens. You don't lose anything, but you learn it without the full-on being stupid thing. So I think, yeah, video games...
I'm convinced. Let's play Dota tonight.
Hooray! So
are you convinced, listener? Dot, dot, dot. Again, send us a message.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we also have our email address now. Works. podcast@photosbyraffy.com.
Awesome.
So either
feedback
one is fine. Yeah. So hopefully this time it was a bit more structured.
Yeah,
I don't know. It feels a bit less random. We should go for one random question. Or actually, tell me a random fact. Random fact that you've discovered recently.
It's actually really sunny sitting here.
Let's not do the I'm sitting here in an apartment.
Let me think of that. What's a random fact that I've learned? I tend to forget most of the random things that I learn.
You were talking about smoking and the health costs associated. I found that.
Yeah, so apparently one of the interesting things about the whole smoking, like, you'd assume that it's, you know, bad and expensive for society, but then I think it was in Finland or something where they actually did a little study and showed that actually it's not more expensive, because unfortunately people die from smoking, and so it means that the government doesn't have to pay for retirement accounts and things, so weirdly,
like, actual...
it ends up being cheaper, and that was an argument that smoking companies tried to put to governments, which was, you know, understandably didn't go down well. But
wow.
It's an interesting fact. Like, I would have thought it'd be more expensive.
Big tobacco and ethics. Wow.
They're trying to save money, really. That's all. Help the government.
Fair enough. They're secretly the superheroes trying to save society.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, random fact for me. Nah, I think we should call it time.
All right.
So, yes, let's catch up next time for a mini-sode.
Yay!
Hooray! More clap sound and stuff.
Okay.
So it should be... Yeah, it's not a stereo mic with a
condenser.
Alright, gotta turn on the phone. More testing. I don't know what to do with...
Testing.